we may have our eyes, it would move and soften our and the glory and the majesty of Jesus. That we may have our eyes opened to the beauty and the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We are in a sermon series at the moment looking at the life of Jesus, and we've been going through the Gospel of Mark chapter by chapter, verse by verse, as we're looking at and examining and exploring the man, the mission and the message of Jesus. If you were here last week, you might remember we looked at the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, and we read how the disciples, they'd been out on a mission, they were going out ministering to local towns and villages, and when they come back to Jesus to report all that they'd seen and saw and done, they were absolutely exhausted, they just wanted to get some rest, and so they go out on this boat to a quiet place, and instead of getting the rest they so desperately needed, they come across thousands of people chasing after them, wanting their attention, thousands of people wanting to make Jesus their new political ruler to overthrow the Romans and get rid of the Herod family. And so we read last week how Jesus had compassion on the crowds. He spends the whole afternoon teaching the people, and then he feeds every one of them to the brim with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And so today's passage picks up right where we left off last week. The disciples had just spent the night feeding thousands of people. They're absolutely exhausted. They just need some rest. And finally, in verse 45 in today's passage, Jesus tells them to go onto a boat, go ahead of him while he finishes up with the crowds. Finally, this is their chance to have a rest. Finally, the disciples can get away from all the people. Finally, they can kick back and relax. And so as we delve into this morning's passage, we're going to see 3 things in particular. The first thing is that an obedient life is not a comfortable life. Secondly, we're going to see the presence of God in the storm. And finally, a warning against hard-heartedness. An obedient life is not a comfortable life. You know those times you have in life when you just get through one difficult thing and then something else rears its ugly head? Just when you think you've made it through one hard thing and something else comes at you and then something else and then something else, and it can begin to feel as if life is just kind of this rolling issue and complication and struggle after another. You're looking forward to a wonderful holiday and then your flight gets cancelled. The next day your car breaks down. Then your heat pump stops working. Then your kids get a vomiting bug. Then you start to have issues at work, and then interest rates go up again. Then you hear that someone's been gossiping about you. Sometimes it just feels as if you go from one difficulty to another, and that's all life is. And that's a little bit what it's been like for the disciples here is throughout chapter 6 of Mark. For so long, they just want a break. And finally, when they get this opportunity to rest after feeding 5,000 people all night, they don't jump on a cruise across the Sea of Galilee and get their cocktails and get ready for their buffet breakfast. No, we read that they spend the whole night straining at the oars, rowing their boat against the wind, stuck out in the middle of the sea, making no headway. Mark tells us in verse 48 that they are straining at the oars. But the Greek word here, we read straining in the English. In the original Greek language, it's got more this meaning of tormented. The force of the wind against them is tormenting the disciples. You can kind of sense their frustration, their exhaustion. They've been rowing all night. When are they going to get some sleep? When are they going to get some rest? But the interesting thing in all this is that the disciples find themselves in this situation after doing exactly what Jesus tells them to do. It's not as if they disobey Jesus and go the wrong way and Jesus kind of whips up this storm to change their path, to teach them a lesson. No, verse 45, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him. They're being obedient. They're doing exactly what Jesus told them to do, and in their obedience, they're led into this storm. Sometimes it can be very tempting for us to think that whenever we go through difficulties in life or trials or troubles, that somehow that's maybe God's way of punishing us or trying to teach us a lesson or trying to turn us around and change direction. But actually, we see here that sometimes living a life of obedience to Jesus can lead you to troubled waters. Sometimes, for whatever reason, and for God's sovereign purposes, that's exactly where God wants you to be for a time. Yet we kind of idolize this quiet, comfortable, restful, troubled-free life. And we assume that's the kind of life that God wants us to have, a life without any medical issues, a life with no family feuds, a life with no cost of living pressures, a life with no hard work, a life with no stress or trouble. And many of us who are in the workforce, we're working so hard now so that we can earn enough money so that we can look to the future to have some kind of restful, comfortable, trouble-free retirement. We long for a trouble-free life. It's what we're looking for. Give me a home among the gum trees with lots of plum trees, a sheep or two and a kangaroo and a veranda out the front and an old rocking chair. We just want to rock in that rocking chair all day long in our retirement, in our troubled, free, peaceful life. And some of you who are here, who are retired, are thinking, oh, if only they knew. Because you know what? An easy, troubled-free life, rocking on your rocking chair all day, that's not the end goal of a Christian. That's not what we're aiming for. Our goal is not comfort. Our goal is not an easy life. Our goal is to be obedient to Christ and give God glory in all we do. And sometimes that means being sent into troubled waters, led into difficult and hard and stressful situations. Sometimes it means doing things we don't really want to do, going places we don't really want to go. The end goal of a disciple of Jesus is not comfort. It's being obedient to Jesus and glorifying God in all things. Or as the old Westminster Confession puts it, that the goal of a disciple is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And I wonder, how disobedient are we to Christ because we're pursuing comfort over obedience? Are you avoiding something? Holding back because comfort is more important to you than being obedient? I wrestled with this dilemma between comfort and obedience toward the end of last year when we were working out whether to come here to Wellspring. The easy, comfortable, more peaceful decision was to stay exactly where we were. Life is good in the country. We had a lot of certainty about things. Things are going well for us. Things are going well in the church there. And uprooting our lives and starting in this new place, that was the disconcerting, uncomfortable option. But as time went on, as we wrestled with God in prayer, it became increasingly clear that, yes, the comfortable option might be to stay, but the obedient option was to go. I'm not saying I get it right all the time, far from it, but it's a real struggle in our culture, isn't it, that struggle between comfort and obedience. And that eternal rest, that comfort will come. It will come in the new heavens and the new earth. We can look forward to that. We can hold on to that hope. But in the here and now, in our very short earthly lives, these lives that are merely a blip on the radar of eternity, sometimes being obedient to God means being sent into the uncomfortable situation and not pursuing the comfortable one. The Apostle Peter says, do not be surprised when you go through trials as if something strange is happening to you. Don't be surprised, says Peter. Expect difficulties, expect hard times. That's the life of a human. It's the life of a follower of Christ. If you're here at church this morning going through a particularly challenging season, at this time, it can be hard to hear maybe that where God's got you is exactly where he wants you at this time. And maybe you are in this stormy season because you've been obedient to God rather than following the ways of the world. I want to encourage you to stay close to God at this time. Wrestle in prayer about what God might be teaching you about yourself, your own heart, and what he's teaching you about him. Now, it can be tempting to think that when we do go through troubles in our lives, when we do go through challenges, that maybe God doesn't care that much about it. He's just kind of sitting up there in the clouds, watching down what's going on, indifferent and distant. If you've got your Bible there, check out what Jesus is doing while the disciples are straining at the oars, verse 45. As they're being tormented all night, Jesus is up on a mountain praying. And when he does see what's going on, when he does make his way down to them, in verse 48, we see shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He walks out to them on the water, and we're told he was about to pass by them. He's about to pass by. Is this some kind of joke Jesus is playing on them? You know, you've been tormented all night. Hey, guys, walk past by. But actually, we need to stop for a moment and really think about these words and what they meant to the original readers of Mark. These words that he was about to pass by. One author notes that this phrase is loaded with a special force from the Old Testament because every time God passes by in the Old Testament, it signifies the fact that God reveals something special about himself. And so when we read the words here in Mark 6 that Jesus is about to pass by, we need to really sit up and take notice and listen because God is revealing something about Jesus. In Exodus 33, when Moses is on Mount Sinai encountering God and receiving the law for the Israelites, God says to Moses, when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Exodus 34, he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord is compassionate and a gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. As he passes by, he reveals this thing about himself. We also see it in 1 Kings where God reveals his presence to Elijah. The Lord said, go out and stand on a mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. But actually, the most powerful link that we have here about God passing by is found in Job chapter 9, verses 8 and 11. These are words that were written 600 years before Jesus. Job 9, verse 8 and 11, he alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. When he passes by, I cannot see him. When he goes by, I cannot perceive him. So here in Mark, we've got Jesus, treading on the waves of the sea, about to pass by the disciples on the boat. What is Mark getting at here? What is he revealing about Jesus? He is showing that God himself has come to be present with his followers in the midst of this storm. God himself has come to be with them in their difficulty. If you go back and read Job chapter 9, which I encourage you to do sometime today, it's all about this awesome separation between God and humanity. And Job makes a point in chapter 9 that the Almighty God is the one with the profound wisdom, vast power. It is God who causes mountains to move, the earth to shake. He can obscure the sun. Job lists all these things time and time again about all these things that only God can do. And then he gets to verse 8 and he says, God is the one who treads on the waves of the sea. Only God walks on water. And so when Jesus comes out to their boat on that stormy night, walking on the water, Mark shows us that the Holy God of Israel has come among them. Jesus isn't just their mate who's been teaching them wise sayings all these years. No, he's revealing himself as God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's the one above all. He has power over nature. He's got profound wisdom, vast power. He can move mountains. He can shake the earth, obscure the sun. And in this moment, Jesus walks out onto the water in the midst of their torment and distress. He's showing them, this is the one. This is the Holy God of Israel. This is God in the flesh. Verse 51, we read, he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. God is with them. The great I am, it is I. Do you need to hear those words today in the midst of your torment and distress? God sees you. You do not need to fear. Because the Lord of heaven and earth is with you. But like most of us, the disciples are a bit slow to understand and learn what's going on. They don't see Jesus out on the water and think, yes, Job chapter 9. It all makes sense. Jesus, you're walking on water. You must be God. No, the disciples have been stuck out there on the water for hours. They're exhausted. Instead of being struck down in awe and amazement at who Jesus is, we're told in verse 49 that the disciples assume he is a ghost. And they're terrified. Now remember, a lot of these guys are fishermen. They know the Sea of Galilee like the back of their hand. And they're looking out from their boat and they're seeing something that they've never seen before. There's somebody walking on the water in the middle of the night. This is between 3 and 6 a.m. It is dark. It is stormy. They're tired. They're exhausted. They're emotionally wrecked. And then they see this being coming at them and they just assume this must be a ghost. You've got to feel for the disciples a bit, don't you? Would have been an extraordinary sight in the wind and darkness, seeing this figure coming at you, walking on water. But Mark, as he writes down what went on, he's not quite so understanding. He blames the reaction of the disciples on their hard hearts. Verse 52, for they had not understood about the loaves and their hearts were hardened. You give them a break. Why does Mark criticize their response? It's because, you know, just hours ago, 8-9 hours earlier, the disciples had witnessed Jesus just feed thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread. Just hours ago, they'd witnessed this most extraordinary miracle, that they were even involved in distributing the bread out to thousands upon thousands of people. They saw the 5 loaves and they witnessed this bread multiply until everyone was filled and satisfied. They even had leftovers. It was amazing. And just hours later, they've totally forgotten what Jesus is capable of. You see, the disciples failed to see what God had done in the past and then apply it to what he could do in the present. They failed to see what God had done in the past and then apply it to their present situation, and we mustn't make that same mistake. As we endure the troubles and the hardships of living our lives today, we need to remember who we worship. We need to remember who God is and what he is capable of. We need to remember that he is the God above all, who created the heavens and the earth and all things out of nothing. He is the God above all who has always been faithful to his people, the God above all who has led his people out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He brought his people into the promised land. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. Our God is capable of anything. Capable of doing more than we could ever ask or imagine. He's proven himself faithful throughout history. This is the God we serve. This is the God who lives in us by his Holy Spirit. There is no limit to his power. There is no limit to what he can do. Have you seen, have you considered what God's done in the past? Have you read about it? Have you experienced it? Have you encountered it? And are you applying it to what God could possibly do now in the present in your own life, in our community, in our church? Yeah, the disciples, they knew Jesus really well. They'd been following him around for a long time. Yet Mark still describes their hearts as hard. So often we assume that it's people who are against God that have hard hearts. Those who actively commit evil acts, who set out to destroy good things. We think of Pharaoh, we think of the Pharisees. We don't only think of the disciples having hard hearts. Or ourselves. Now, it's very possible, like the disciples, to know a lot about Jesus, to say all the right words, to come to church, to sing the right songs, to be involved in ministry, to lead a ministry, to think that you've got the most perfect theology, but still have a hard heart. Hard-hearted because you fail to see what God's done in the past and apply it to what he could do in the present, failing to live a daily life by faith in light of the reality of who God is and what he has done. You know, faith isn't just knowing about Jesus. The disciples knew about him. It's not even about being with Jesus. They had been with him. They were still hard-hearted. It's a conscious decision to act today in accordance with who God is and what he's done in the past. We're to be living lives every single day that reflect the greatness of what God is capable of, having soft hearts that are open and expectant for God to work powerfully in our lives and in our midst to do remarkable things. I spoke a few weeks ago about being people who and being a church that prays bold and audacious prayers. Now, we as God's people can pray bold and audaciously because we believe in a big and powerful God. We believe in the one who created all things out of nothing, the one who can even walk on the waves. Do you actually believe he can do anything? Do you know who you worship? Do you know what he's capable of? Don't be hard-hearted. As we go through the constant storms and trials of this life, we can know that the Lord God Almighty sees us in our weakness and in our distress and comes near. And despite our hard-heartedness and constant confusion, we cry out to Jesus in his grace and mercy, and he stoops to us. He brings peace to our lives, peace to our troubled hearts. Come near to him. Cry out to him and find rest in his presence. An obedient life is not a comfortable life. God comes near to us in the storms. And a warning not to be hard-hearted. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this extraordinary story of your son, Jesus, revealing himself as the holy God in the flesh. Father, as we go through our daily lives, as we encounter difficulties and stresses and troubles day by day, week by week, I ask, Father, that you would keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that we would stay close to him, that we would know and experience his peace and his power in our hearts. Father, keep us from having hard hearts. Soften us by your Spirit. Lord, help us to have faith based on who you are and what you've done in the past, that we may live lives today and every day for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, John.